Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, feel free to call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And good morning to our most beautiful guest, Dr. Maupin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, I'm so excited. Everyone, I want to tell my audience, she really is such a beautiful, incredible doctor, woman, everything. I also have here Dr. Katzen, and Zane is here at the board. Dr. Maupin, I'm just going to give a little brief and say I met Dr. Maupin, and she has changed my life. And I know she's going to change everybody else's life who's listening to this program. Dr. Maupin, welcome. Tell us, you're in St. Louis, right?
Yes, I'm in St. Louis, and my practice name is BioBalance Health.
Right, BioBalance Health. And I've told all my patients, your webinars are fantastic. Your YouTube, everything with... So we have Dr. Maupin here because she is a pioneer. I'm telling you, if there is a Nobel Prize for women, it should go to Dr. Maupin. And I say that with all my heart. She wrote this book called The Secret Female Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. So Dr. Maupin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started testosterone therapy for my patients after I had had a hysterectomy. And I was a gynecologist for many years before that, and still am a gynecologist. However, when I had my ovaries out, my whole life changed for the worse. And I lost all of my energy. I lost my sex drive. I lost my body. Everything seemed to be turning against me when my ovaries were removed. And unlike what I was told by everyone else, all the experts said that had to do with estrogen. Well, estrogen didn't help me. And then I found a doctor in California who had been taking care of women with testosterone for many years. And I was introduced to him through his sister. He actually treated me, and my life changed totally back to normal within a year. Now, I actually felt better within a day, but that he used testosterone pellets. And actually, I had used and tried almost every form of estrogen and testosterone I knew about, but nothing worked for me. And no one in St. Louis could help me, and so I had to have a California doctor help me, and he trained me after that. So since then, I have grown my practice. I have been giving testosterone to women, and I now specialize in that. That's all I do all day is take care of women and men because everybody brought their husbands to me. So I take care of men as well. I was trained to take care of men, but I hadn't done that until my patients asked me to. So I have a full practice of awesome people who come back in and give me the best feedback and tell me how much their lives have changed, how this has really made a difference for them, just like it did for me.
Well, you know, I met you, I'm sure you remember, at the
yes.
an age management conference. And just so all my audience knows, Dr. Maupin lights up the universe. She walks into the room. Not only is she beautiful, but her heart is beautiful too. She has a wonderful, she wrote this book with Brett Newcomb. So she's like a magnet. So you walk into the room, you meet her. Oh my gosh. Then she gives this lecture and you're going, where have women been? Why is it such a secret?
It is. It's that the people that take care of women who are OBGYNs are not taught anything about testosterone. In fact, we're taught that women don't need it. And in fact, testosterone has a higher level in women under 40 than their estrogen level. We have three times as much testosterone as estrogen. Therefore, it is our primary hormone, and it gives us all of the characteristics that we ascribe to being young. And we start losing it at 40. So at 40, it starts going down. It may even be gone by 40. But if you've had your ovaries out, it's definitely gone because that's where it's made. So testosterone is vital to our youth and our health. And that's what I try to describe in my book.
Well, you know, you have that beautiful graph, and I show my patients where it shows the testosterone in your life, just like you mentioned. And, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I show them that graph in your book, and they are blown away. I have women going, I didn't even know I had testosterone in my body. I'm sure you've heard that.
Well, sure.
Oh, yeah, every, I've heard it.
Every woman that I've talked to raises their eyebrows when I tell them about the amount of testosterone they have circulating.
And you met Dr. Katzen, you know, my husband.
Yes.
And, I mean, we show people this graph. And it's like, you know, I mean, they have no clue. It's just amazing.
That's why I'd like people to read the book, because I think that would give them a grasp of the knowledge that they can then share with their doctors if their doctors haven't heard about it. It's not that this isn't studied. It's studied. It's just studied in a specialty that doesn't take care of women's hormones, and that's called endocrinology. So endocrinologists study it, do research on testosterone in women and men, and then nobody hears about it that actually takes care of women's hormones. So that's where the disconnect occurs.
Correct. And again, like testosterone, the word has gotten some bad baggage in some places.
It has. It is. It's one of those things that if you say something bad about it enough times, then everyone hears that word and they go, "Ooh, that's a bad thing." And the reason that has occurred is because of sports, because testosterone has been misused in general by men, but not always just by men, in sports as a performance enhancing drug. And therefore, it is used in the wrong population. It's used in young men, young women who are very healthy, who are trying to get an advantage over their competitors. When in fact, testosterone replacement in people who have lost their testosterone is just bringing us back to normal. So we're not using that. We aren't using testosterone for the same reason it has a bad rap. I don't treat athletes. I don't treat young people who have no testosterone. I treat aging people, people over 40 or women under 40 who've lost their ovaries, and with testosterone. So it's an entirely different environment and situation, and it shouldn't be linked up with the kind of negative press that testosterone gets in athletics.
Well, and totally, I agree. One of the which I have given to my patients. So you have this wonderful tool, the self-assessment tool in your book, and it tells all the different things. And I gave a copy to the patients. I CC'd, you know, Dr. Maupin wrote this list, and the patients
thank
sit
you
there and circle yes, yes, yes. They have all these symptoms. Talk about those symptoms.
Well, you know, symptoms we usually ascribe to, oh, that's just aging. You have to live with it. I don't know how many times I heard that from other physicians when I was seeking help. And I've heard that also from my patients. But the symptoms include loss of libido, where you had a great sex drive before and it's now gone. Right. You no longer look at your partner as someone that you desire. You look at them as furniture. And that's, and I mean, it's just like, oh, what are you still doing here? I don't really need that piece of furniture. Maybe I should just like throw it out for, you know, I can do this on my own. But
well,
when you get to
hit over the head with a leg.
Well, so that's like one of the biggest reasons people come to me is that they're having problems in their marriage and they no longer even have sex on their list. They take it off their list. Their whole life has changed and they have other things to do that they prefer to sex, like folding their laundry or something.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, seriously. So that's
no, I know.
One of
I
the
hear
biggies.
This.
I know. It's just amazing. And I remember feeling like that, but it's hard to remember feelings seriously over time. You don't remember how you used to feel. You just remember how you feel right now. So I know I did, but I can't feel that way at this point. In any case, fatigue. Everybody is fatigued. Well, the answer generally is, oh, well, you have too much on your plate. You're doing too many things. And for women, that might be true. But in the case of being over 40 and having no libido and a low testosterone, that's the answer. And testosterone gives you energy, brings you back to your multitasking self. You also can have loss of your waistline. If you had a waistline before 40 and it goes away after 40, that's a function of low testosterone. Lack of sleep, insomnia, where you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning every morning, that type of insomnia, not the type that causes you not to go to sleep, but the kind that causes you to wake up, that kind of insomnia is the one that is associated with loss of testosterone because you don't go into a deep type of sleep anymore. Then loss of muscle mass. I remember going to the gym. I've worked out since my daughter was one, so that's 29 years. And at the time that I didn't have testosterone, I just stopped going because I was so tired that when I got done working out and I didn't make any muscle and I didn't lose weight, it didn't seem like it was doing anything.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was going to say, I show my patients a picture of you in the book and I said, she really looks like that. She's gorgeous. And I can see you work
out.
Thank you. So, I mean, and it's true. You know, I know you work out and you can see it. But it isn't just, like you said, like the working out. You balancing your hormones. And the the rest of the, you coined it TDS, testosterone deficiency syndrome. And you, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but you were going through that, you know, the list, which is, like you said, the libido, your immune system. And I think what you say about the brain.
Oh, the brain is so affected by testosterone. I even see it in men at a later age, but for women who come in, they're afraid they have Alzheimer's, and they've not even told their family doctor or their internal medicine doctor that they can't think anymore, and they can't remember people's names. They can't remember the name of their best friend or the street they live on. Oftentimes, they think they're getting Alzheimer's at 40, but when in fact, testosterone has a huge effect on the brain. It brings blood flow to a part of the brain that has memory in it, and it's not long-term, it's short-term memory. So that's one of the places that testosterone actually improves blood flow and actually causes the neurons always grow and die. They all have a lifespan, but it causes them to be repaired. Without testosterone, our neurons aren't repaired, so our brain starts shrinking.
Well,
and that causes us problem.
That's true. And, you know, I want everyone out there to know this is based in science, the effect. And a lot of this has been known for a long time. But for some reason, this testosterone deficiency syndrome, again, has been a secret.
And that's what we're trying to change. But with the AMMG, the Age Management Group, I think that that's an excellent group to work through because they are all trying to bring out what hormone replacement after our hormones are starting to wane does for us. And testosterone is a primary hormone. I don't know if you've talked about growth hormone on your show, but most of my patients don't require growth hormone because testosterone stimulates growth hormone. Mm-hmm. And we get all the benefits of growth hormone without the cost and without the risk, because growth hormone can have some risks if it's in the hands of the wrong physicians who aren't careful. So some people still need it, but not many. And usually the people that still need growth hormone after they're 70, when testosterone doesn't stimulate it quite as well. So that's one of the benefits and the economies of using testosterone, that it stimulates the other hormones that sometimes other physicians have to replace, like oxytocin and the growth hormone. So those are ways to get around multiple hormone replacement with just one hormone.
Right, the orchestra of hormones. And one thing I like about your book too, again, it's called The Female Secret Hormone for my audience, is that you look at the total person. You say you want to find out about their lifestyle, which I also do that in my practice. You know, what is your life like? Do you exercise? What do you eat? Do you smoke? Do you drink? And you look at the other hormones too.
Well, one of the things that I'm seeing is that a lot of people who are coming to the doctor now are resistant to getting tested. So what kind of tests do you have to do before you start administering testosterone to these ladies?
Okay, my testing is blood testing. That's the only testing that I do. And I, partially because in general insurance will cover it. Medicare does not cover it if you're not a Medicare physician ordering it, but it will cover it if you are a Medicare physician. So testing includes the health tests so that I can find out both what is wrong with the patient medically, but also what they don't have. A negative is just as important when looking at a patient as a positive. So oftentimes I look at a blood count and I can tell if somebody has a lack of B12 or a lack of iron in their nutrition. So I can help that. I also look for autoimmune disorders, because the CRP, that's one of the tests that I order. The CRP, or the inflammatory markers, are way up. I look at the lipids. A low testosterone, believe it or not, causes a high cholesterol. So when people get their testosterone back, their cholesterol comes down, and I want to show them that. So if they have high cholesterol, I replace the testosterone, and then I show them in 3 months that their cholesterol has come down, and that sometimes keeps them from having to take statins, which is, I think, a good thing. Testosterone also decreases the inflammatory process and helps people with autoimmune disorders. So I test metabolic profile, which is your liver, your kidneys, and your blood sugar. I test the blood count. I test the lipids. And those are all just for health parameters, making sure you don't have something else that's causing your symptoms. Right. Then I check prolactin, because if you have a prolactin-producing tumor, it looks a lot like, and make sure I'm not treating the wrong thing. Then I do LH and FSH, the hormones that stimulate the pituitary.
Correct.
I also take an estradiol, which is a free estradiol, which is the hormone that is the young women's estrogen. I also take estrone, which is old lady estrogen from the adrenal and from fat.
I love the way you say that in the book. I love
yeah,
it. The old lady's estrogen.
You don't get it till you're old, and it makes us look old, because the minute testosterone goes down, it's like
estrone goes up.
Yep, estrone goes up. And the minute estrone goes up, then we get pendulous breasts, back fat, belly fat. And that assists in the confusion that we have in our brain as well. So estrone is the bad guy. It's also the bad guy in breast cancer. So you don't want to have a lot of estrone in your body. So that's one of our missions, is to watch that and make sure that it is decreased either by testosterone treatment or by using DIM, which is a supplement, or Arimidex, which is a medication. So let's see, other testing. We also test, of course, free testosterone and total testosterone. And we test the I'm viewing this in my head, cortisol, 8 a.m. cortisol, because we want to have a test of every type of gland in the body, basically, to see if that gland is working properly. I also want a cortisol, because if you're really stressed out and your cortisol is high, that increases the inactivation of the testosterone that you make. And therefore, a high stress environment or a very active adrenal gland can cause you to feel like you have low testosterone when it's just high cortisol. So I want to make sure that I can work on that as well with my patients. And then there are other testings I do, not as a screening test, but specific testing in patients who have had blood clots. I look for all of the genetic factors for that to make sure that they don't have a recurrent blood clot with estrogen. Testosterone doesn't have anything to do with blood clotting. Is that what you, there anything I missed?
No, I just thought that it was important for you to.
Oh, thyroid.
Yes, of course.
Thyroid, very important.
Very important.
Right. If your thyroid doesn't work,
nothing
if you
more.
Don't have, it, if it doesn't work, it's you're not going to feel good on testosterone either. It's not going to give you that total well-being feeling.
And you really need these parameters to be able to evaluate the whole patient.
Yes, I do. I think that there are several chains that replace testosterone across the country, but they only do 4 tests. And right. So they just test the hormones they're giving, and they don't check estrone at all. So that's just a very limited survey, and that's not enough to really make you healthy.
Right. Which I totally agree, and I do that too. And also the fact that, you know, again, I'm also a lipidologist and my board's in lipids, so I take care of that. And it's all related. And I'm a certified menopause practitioner. But I'll tell you, when you look at the whole person, and like you said, you know, patients come in, I tell them, if I'm going to give you testosterone or give you estrogen, you're not going to walk out and look like Jennifer Lopez. You still have to dye. I mean, because I said, I want to look like Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
But actually, I want to look like Dr. Malpin.
Oh, no, you don't.
I do. I've already lost 15 pounds.
Awesome.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. I love that.
But anyways, I said, I do tell my patients, I would look like Dr. Maupin. But anyways, so it's, you know, I tell them it's still diet, exercise is the cornerstone, don't smoke, the alcohol, which you really lay that out really well in your book.
I tried to. I mean, everything I do in my office, I put into the book, but those are the ways I explain things in the book, or the ways I explain everything to my patients, that if they're going to continue to drink a half a bottle of wine every night, they're not going to lose belly fat because they are making belly fat with wine. So they're going to have to cut that out. It's not my responsibility to treat that with testosterone. It's their responsibility to eat properly and to be moderate in everything. Moderate in everything. Did you read the article there's a couple articles that just came out about marathoners?
Yes.
You know, so it kind of, on the other end of exercise, marathoners have a higher risk of heart disease.
Well, they have low estrogen.
They have low estrogen, but they also scar. They did some studies and found that they scar their heart, and it's not as expandable as they go through all of the process of high output, and then when they stop and they eat, then they're gaining a lot of weight and they're losing a lot of weight, and their heart is not accepting this very well. High lipids, low lipids, basically, but also stressing their bodies so much that the stress itself is causing damage to the heart.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, and again, like you were saying, moderation and really being cognizant of what you put in your mouth and what you do with your body, like you're saying.
So if you are getting hormones from somewhere and they're not checking, I'm not talking about your patients, of course, and you're not getting your blood tested and you're not getting some dietary guidelines and some exercise guidelines, and you're not being helped with the belly fat and the suggestions. Now, it's one thing to listen, another thing to do. But if you're doing all those things and you're not making any progress as a patient, then they should see you. You're right there. They should come in and see you and be evaluated.
Well, and it's true, and it's the same thing for men. And you said in your practice, what did you say? It's like over 40% are men now too?
No, it's 40% new patients. It's not total 40%. 40% new patients. Of the people that come in, that I have a lot of men coming in. So a lot of the new patients are men. And many of them are the spouses of my patients.
In our community here, we have an elderly population, and the men are very interested in continuing being men, so to speak. And
yes,
they, I think that Dr. Triana sees probably about, I would say, 30-40% of the men, 30-40% of the men who come in to see her are interested in hormone replacement or hormone balancing.
And the other thing, Dr. Maupin, is that because our population is over 65 mostly, a lot of people are really, as we had talked about the brain, they're really scared. Nobody wants to get dementia.
No, and you know, the two things that can put you into a position of not being in control of your life is dementia and losing the ability to move around, which requires muscle and bone. So testosterone deals with both, and it promotes both when you take it. So it's a two for one. You know, my parents ended up going to a nursing home for a short period of time, but it was not where I want to end up. After watching it, it's not where I want to end up. And that's my goal for my patients, is never to have them end up in a nursing home and be dependent on someone else to take care of them.
Dr. Maupin, we're going to have a little break, and then everyone listen, because we're going to ask the big question. What about sex?
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's TRIANA Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this promo, this program, you can call us at 206-1580. That's area code 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana, Dr. Katzen, and Dr. Maupin.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Maupin.
Yes, we have.
I want to tell everyone again, our guest is Dr. Kathy Maupin from St. Louis, Missouri. And she wrote this fabulous book called The Secret Female Hormone. And it's a life changer. Can you hear me?
I lost contact.
It's on. She lost contact. Okay.
Just a second.
Can you hear us now?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Maybe the 800 number. Okay. All right, everyone.
We'll have her dial us back. Okay. Let me see. There we go.
Are you on board?
Okay. We'll try this again.
I can't hear the questions, though.
Oh, you can't hear the questions? Okay. We'll get you back on board. The show is The Secret Female Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. And we're very excited to have as our guest, Dr. Maupin from St. Louis. We're having a little technical difficulty with the Skype that we're using. And Dr. Maupin wrote a really nice dedication in my book called Dr. Triana, You Are the Best. Keep up the great work. Dr. Kathy Maupin and Brett Newcomb. Are you there now?
Hey.
Are you there now, Dr. Maupin?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was just telling everyone about your book and the that you wrote here and how wonderful it is. And your team has been very kind to send us two books that you've dedicated. And we are asking our audience to email AskDrTriana@TrianaPreventionCenter.com and write about their experience with the show and how this book can change their lives. Then we have two books that we're going to give away, and we'll announce it at our next show. But I want to thank you again for the books, Dr. Maupin.
You're very welcome.
So you can hear us okay now?
I can. I'm getting...
That just clicked off.
All right. I can hear you now. All right. You can hear us now?
I'm not here.
She's not hearing us, but we can hear her. So what are we doing? Okay, Dr. Maupin. She'll be right on board. So the important thing is that there is a progression of hormone loss after the age of 40. So the first hormone, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, is that testosterone starts to decrease in your body. And this is after the age of 40, right, Dr. Katzen?
That's both for men and for women.
For both men and women. So this is very important that you realize, and it's laid out in the book how important. It shows that after the age of 40, you start to lose testosterone. And believe it or not, the last hormone to drop in our bodies as women is... And we're there again? And we're not. So, let's call...
Yeah, we're trying to reestablish over Skype. Yeah,
okay.
I've got you.
Let's see if we can hear that. But it's very important that as we decrease the progesterone, also, and that's the second hormone to drop. And then the third hormone to drop is estrogen. And we know that the most potent estrogen is estradiol. So that's why Dr. Maupin was saying we check your estradiol level, but we also check your estrone level, which she calls the old lady estrogen. Are we on board there? And we're still trying to connect. Maybe we could just call her.
The goal of therapy is to bring your patient's hormone level up to where it was at approximately age 40.
And we want to try to replace your hormones. Yes? We're going to try to replace your hormones. And there we go again with Skype. Hello? Are we connected? And we're not. Well, we're just hang on there. We're trying to get a hold of Dr. Maupin again. She's a fabulous guest. Boy, are we lucky to have her today.
She really is fabulous.
And you meet her, and she's just so dynamic. And with this book, I know she's going, has a book tour. She even went to Europe. And she's on, are you there? She's there on the television. She's been doing talk shows. And we're very lucky to have her on the radio show, even though we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, which we'll get through that. So let's get the word out. It's very important that we look again at your whole orchestra of hormones and check to make sure the other hormones are in balance too before we can treat someone with any hormone.
Sure. If you drive along the highway, you see billboards for low T. Well, it's just not low T. You have to have a...
Hello, you're on board? Dr. Maupin? Are you on board, Dr. Maupin? Yes?
I'm on board.
Great. Yes, we can hear you. Oh, sorry about the technical difficulty.
Yeah, well, I am too, so.
But we're so, listen, we're so happy that you're here with us today. And I was just telling everyone how you've gone on this incredible book tour and you've been on doing all kinds of promotion, which you're getting the word out. It's great.
Yes, and that's exactly what this is about, too. So everybody can have a chance at feeling really good and knowing what can make them feel really good.
And I know you devote also with Brett, who is wrote this book with you about the, and I find that very interesting, the sexless life.
Yeah, that's... There are many studies now that even young people have a sexless life, but I'm not so certain that their life is sexless because they don't have desire and they don't have testosterone. I believe it's because it's busy. But by the time we get to be 40 to 50, we should have our children on the way out of the house and we should have time to devote to sex. And that's exactly when women start to lose their desire. That's what we can fix.
I know, and I think that's really great because you were saying about only 40% of couples are satisfied with their sex life. That's a little sad.
That is. It's very sad. And I think that that percentage goes up as we get older. In general, women are the first to lose their sex drive, but there are some men that lose it early, and their wives are fine. So anytime there's a discrepancy between desire and Masters and Johnson talked about way back when in 85, I think I was at their conference here, and I still remember and talk to patients about this, that they talk about desire just like an appetite. Like some people love to eat and they love to eat a lot and they love to eat all the time. And some people don't really care about food and they don't care to eat as much. So for couples who have disparate, appetites, they have to actually have a conversation, and even though sex is hard to talk about, but a conversation about their appetites. And as long as they can agree on it, and as long as they both have some desire, then they should be able to come up with a solution, an answer to how many times they have sex a week or a month, depending on what they want. But testosterone makes it possible when one of the people in the couple do not have any sex drive.
Well, you know, a lot of women, when Viagra first came out, that was the problem. Patients would say, oh my gosh, now my husband wants to have sex and I'm not interested.
I know. And there's many reasons for that, but I think the primary reason is that they've lost their testosterone and now it's not even as a habit. They don't even know they miss it until they get the testosterone. So my advice is always, well, just try the testosterone and see if your sex drive comes back and see if that makes you and your husband a lot happier. Because in general, they come in smiling.
I know, that's so wonderful. And you write about also the way testosterone improves your sex life, not only for desire, but improved orgasms.
Yes, it does. And it improves the oxytocin system that spikes with orgasm and actually assists in orgasm. But testosterone, free testosterone, that is the active form of testosterone, crosses the blood-brain barrier and increases many of the neurotransmitters that heighten orgasm. Beverly Whipple was one of the people who studied this, and many of the things that I put together with the testosterone levels had to do with her research. She's probably about 72, 73 now, but she wrote the book Orgasm, and that's on the market for patients, and she wrote The Science of Orgasm for Physicians. So some of this connects with a lot of it connects with the testosterone, but I see patients that come in, and I had two patients in a row, maybe 7 or 8 months ago, that had been anorgasmic, no orgasms ever in their life, and they'd been married both 30 and 35 years, and when they had had testosterone, they asked me beforehand, "Well, how will I know?" And I'm like, "You'll know. I mean, you'll know." So when they came back, they were just smiling and said, "We know, and it's amazing, and we can't believe we lived without this." And they were both coming back the same day. It was the funniest thing.
Oh.
You know, and it's not a frequent type of problem or a frequent type of answer, but it is more common than people talk about. No one wants to admit that.
Well, it must be very gratifying for you and for the patient.
It is. It is. It's like the best thing in medicine I've ever done. I've never had a success rate in anything as much as I've experienced by providing lost hormones to people who are getting older.
And in fact, you talk at your lecture that you love delivering babies, but this is also incredibly satisfying. I remember you said that.
I do. I always love babies, but, you know, I love delivering babies, and it was so much fun. And my life has always been fun. I love everything I've done. And God gave me the direction to go to OB instead of pediatrics, because I had kind of been interested in that. And I went to OB, and then he changed my desire to go to take care of patients who had what I had had and what I had experienced. So I'm thankful for the fact that I had the severe reaction to having my ovaries out that is a lot worse than most people, because that's what drove me to find the answer, and that's what the answer is what drove me to have my new calling. This is my new calling, and I want every single woman to know that they don't have to live like their doctors may say they have. Like, this is, you have to live with this, you have to get used to it, that's too bad, so what? You know, you don't have to live like that.
Well, of course. And the old, you know, oh, it's only in your head. I mean, how many times have women been told that? Oh, it's in your head, like you said, just get over it, you're getting older. You know, and, you know, I think, like you, you're very upfront, you're very candid about your experiences, and you ask, and now you're a specialist in this, but even primary care physicians need to ask their patients about their sexual health.
They do. You know, I think that I have compassion for the primary care doctors, because they are constrained by the time frame that insurance companies give them, and they keep getting paid less and less for a visit when they can't really even pay themselves and pay their overhead. So I have compassion for that, but they should make just appointments just about sexuality, so patients can have some time to talk about it, not when they're talking about blood pressure or something else.
Yes, you're right. But Dr. Maupin, you know, my cortisol level was up today because I was so excited about this show. Yes, I have
That's
to be
great.
Honest with you.
That's
but
so
tell
nice.
Us about, because I want to hear from the specialist. Talk to us about bioidentical hormones. There's so many myths out there.
There are. Bioidentical hormones are hormones that chemically look just like the hormones that we made when we were younger. But bioidentical hormones are made from plants, which makes them easier to absorb and much more effective and certainly less risky than synthetic hormones. The additional advantage of bioidentical hormones is that they're given in different in ways that are not oral, because oral estrogen is one of the riskier estrogen because it goes through your liver. It's called the first pass effect. That's what doctors call it.
Right.
It goes right through your liver and then into your bloodstream, but it's not the same hormone that you took orally. It's all these different byproducts, and they do not give you the same effect as pure estradiol or pure testosterone. So when you take it under the skin, like I give pellets, or you take as a gel or a cream or a tablet or a vaginal suppository, that those are the ways that bioidentical hormones are given. And it's not just the bioidentical hormone, but it's the way we give them that makes the difference. And it's much more like our previous feeling of being hormonal. I mean, not hormonal in a bad way, but having our hormones in a good way.
And I know you when you put in your book, The Secret Female Hormone, you put it out in these great graphs. You explain the different delivery systems. I think that's really important for our audience to understand that by reading this book, again, it does, as you say, empower you, gives you the knowledge. I tell patients, I talk to them, I said, get the book. Read the book. We even have little handouts that we give to patients. Yeah. I said, you got to get this book, Dr. Maupin's. We have it printed up, you know, the book, where to get it.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
And we give it to our patients, and even the men patients should read it too. They need to understand what happens with us ladies.
It's not our fault.
No.
It's really not our fault. It's just something that happens. And if they wait long enough, sometimes this happens to them too, so they can have some compassion from their own experience. But one of the reasons I wrote the book, I had lots of reasons, but one of them was to empower women so they didn't have to listen to it's in your head and think they were crazy. Because the more you hear that, the more you think you're crazy. And mm-hmm. and women have a sixth sense of when something's wrong. They know when something's wrong with their kids. We know when something's wrong with us. And so we should listen to that. But every time you're told it's in your head and you're crazy, you stop listening to your own instincts. And that's one thing I want to stop, because that is absolutely wrong. This is not in your head. This is chemical.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
No, and it's not in your head. It's a chemical imbalance.
And it should be treated that way. One of the things that I wanted to, that I'm glad you're using the book as a way to get people to educate themselves, and that makes their visits smoother with you as well.
Yes.
Because then they have a basis of knowledge. They don't have to you don't have to worry about them being misinformed or giving or made fearful from some website that hates hormones. So this is something to also empower physicians so that they don't have to go through the, you almost have to talk to them 20 or 25 hours to really get all this information to them. This gives them a jump start so that they can then speak on a different level to their patients, and so that the patients will understand what they're talking about and get their treatment faster.
And you also you speak very well too about what are the risks of using hormones, especially testosterone. You write a list, and there are some risks, and it isn't for everybody.
No, it's not. The two risks that, I mean, most of the risks with testosterone are either reversible or avoidable. So, and I'm going to be talking about non-oral testosterone, because I don't suggest that anyone take oral testosterone, because that type of testosterone and only that type causes can cause liver growths or liver tumors, not necessarily cancer, but a tumor. So I don't use oral testosterone. But having said that, the other forms of testosterone, the risks are facial hair and thinning of the hair on your head. But that doesn't have to happen. You can have troubleshooting methods. There are troubleshooting methods, so you don't have to have that as a side effect. Or if you start to have it, it can be stopped. Now, one of the ways testosterone is risky is that sometimes women have clitoral enlargement for a short period of time, usually, and it's dose-dependent, and generally the clitoris enlarges just slightly, and then it then goes back down to size. However, I don't find that to be a problem. That is not a sign of an illness.
Right.
If you're taking testosterone, it's not a dangerous thing. And I've never heard, as I said in the conference, I've never heard of a man complaining if his phallus got bigger.
Oh, that's true. I never heard that either.
But it gives us more surface area, really, for stimulation. So it's not a bad thing, and it doesn't make us into a man, which is the usual worry.
Oh, yeah, or the question is, am I going to grow a beard? Am I going to look like a guy?
Right, and that it's not like that. The only time that you could turn it into that is if you were shaving, and sometimes shaving will make stubble of any kind, any area on your body. If you shave it, you'll get stubble. So I don't advise the shaving. And if you don't do that, you aren't going to get a beard, and you're not going to get hard or really thick hair on your face, and you won't have to shave. I mean, there are medications that we use to prevent that from happening.
Which you are very clear to explain in the book. So again, everybody, you've got to get this book. This is a life changer, and it explains, it talks about the different hormones, also the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. It's so important that we read this book to understand, because some people will say, well, why can't I just age naturally? I'm sure you get that question.
Absolutely. We can all age naturally, and aging naturally means that we're going to get a whole lot of illnesses. What we didn't discuss yet are the illnesses that testosterone replacement prevents. Aging naturally is not a very pretty sight, and you can look at our parents to see what aging naturally looks like. But aging naturally means that you have a higher risk of diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, heart attack, and stroke. I mean, all of these things are made
Osteoporosis.
Frail. Sarcopenia is what we call it, but it's right. Frailty. It's where we can't walk, we can't get ourselves around the house, so then we have to have someone take care of us. To me, that's one of the biggest. We keep our muscle mass if we have testosterone. You know, I have my oldest patient's 92.
Oh.
And he's very happy. He's very happy. And his wife's on testosterone as well. And they're both very happy.
So they
give hope to the thought that you don't have sex after whatever age you think you don't have sex after, because they're still having sex every day. So, you know, that's something that's really impressive and a goal for all of us to look forward to.
Yeah, because we're all human. And, you know, that's one of the wonderful things that we can express intimacy with.
I know. It's one of those things that psychologically we've been told, oh, it's bad when we're young, you know, so to keep people from having children out of wedlock or to keep our children in line. And I understand that. But we can't carry that same thought into marriage or into our own habits and our own activities as we get older. It's perfectly normal to have sex the rest of your life.
I totally agree. I think it's such an important part of life. And on my program, I talk about it. I said an intimate life is a forever life.
That's good. That's great. And you're right.
It should be.
Keeps us all actually, our brains and our bodies actually healthy, because it improves our blood circulation to everywhere in our body, but our brain circulation goes up and we get lots of oxygen to our brain when we have sex.
So Dr. Maupin, you have written this incredible book. You're impacting so many women, men's lives with this book. But how has it impacted your life? The book, writing
the
a book.
Book,
writing a
well,
book, becoming more famous. Being a movie star like you are.
It isn't. It isn't that, and I'm glad it isn't that. I never really wanted that. That would make me crazy. But in St. Louis, I usually know at least one set of people in every restaurant I go to, or they know me. And when we travel, we're starting to get more attention, and that's just what I expected. But it's not terrible, because if it was, it's not overwhelming. And I was praying that it wouldn't be overwhelming, and it's not. So we've had to us from all over the country, and we've had a lot of growth in our practice here. So I'm very happy with it. I'm also happy with the acceptance. It seems to help with acceptance of other doctors. I now have at least two doctors on my schedule every time I'm in the office.
Wow.
So they're believing, they're reading, they're believing, they're understanding that this is really something that is real, and the research really there, and they go and read it, and they say, well, why don't I know about this? And it's just because no one's talking about it on television or on the news, and they should be. Every person should. We could really save money on our ACA, National Health Service that we're developing. I mean, we could keep people healthy, but no one's talking about it.
I know. And when you talk about the cost of getting testosterone replacement is far less than the multiple amount of medicines that patients are spending each month for all the serious illnesses that they have.
That's right. Some of the things I can't get, I can't have patients go off, but certain medications, sleeping medications and antidepressant medications, oftentimes high blood pressure medication and diabetic medication, I get people to come off of as they lose weight, as they gain more muscle mass. Because, you know, if you have a lot of muscle mass, you burn calories while you sleep. That's my favorite, like, picture. So you're sleeping and you're burning calories. You're not eating, but you're burning calories because you've got enough muscle mass that you are burning calories with your sleep. You increase your basal metabolic rate, and therefore you can lose weight easier than if you were just without testosterone.
Well, Dr. Maupin, I know our time is coming close to an end, but I wanted to thank you again, and I want you to tell people where they can go to your website, BioBalance, right?
BioBalance Health is my website, and Dr. Kathy Maupin is my blog. You can also go to The Secret Female Hormone, and that gives you the different retailers for the book, and they also, and it also is in digital mode in on Amazon. So if they don't like to have a book and they want to have it on their iPad, then they can read it on in a digital mode.
So we could they can Kindle it, huh? I call it kindling.
Yes.
It.
Yeah, they can Kindle it. You're right. You have a lot of good phrases, catchphrases.
I do. I tell my patients, I say either Kindle it or go on Amazon. But I know this book is rapidly affecting everyone, and we're really very lucky that you and Brett took the time out of your very busy lives to share. Because really, writing a book like this, you're sharing your knowledge, your expertise. I know you've been doing this for years, even though you look like a kid.
Testosterone helps.
And, you know, you're so beautiful. But I mean, to do a book, how much work is that?
It was, I actually changed my schedule to just 3 afternoons a week, and we worked on Mondays, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and sometimes on Fridays. So it was a part-time job, and I decreased my patient hours so that I could actually do this. And Brett sacrificed his life, basically, because he retired and he was able to go do a lot of things, but he had to step back and stay on schedule with me to keep this book going. So we both had our lives changed we changed our lives so that we could write it. But it was a worthy project.
Well, we're about ending here, and we're going to be having Brett on the show too in the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
And of course, we'd love to have you back, Dr. Maupin. And I know by then we'll have our technical difficulties resolved.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Maupin.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you very much. God bless you. You're great.
God bless you too.
Thank you. And thank everybody, The Slippery Slope of Lipids. Thank you, Dr. Katzenzane. And don't go down that slippery slope and get the book. It's great. Bye-bye.